And I will post them because I think it's very good to have these calls in writing, especially since what Patrick has been doing is really summarizing everything well.
Right.
And what it really comes to is always good to get it in written form, and that's the application that everybody's been looking for. You've seen the new document that he's put out. He's got that contracting for dummies, and it's 71 pages, and I'll be reading it. There's only probably some of it that's going to be directly applicable to what we're doing here, but it's good to have a solid background. I'll be doing that. And then he had some definitions about all subject to banking contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
One of the definitions, I think when I get confused about that, I'm going to get it, but it says something about when the Civil War was over, referring to the non-UCC or something, and each time I asked him about that, and then I went to talking to him, I'll have to pull it back up. It does take minutes when the war is over, and he's clearly showing the war was not ever over. So.
Right. The war was not ever over. They just changed the armaments that they used from bullets to banking.
Right. So if it
converted the army to a financial army.
Yeah.
I've long looked at it this way, that we've the case of people occupied by a financial army.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
While financial army was born, they worshipped and they made a bunch. We also put up a copy of the Constitution, but if you notice, he did is highlight the word ambassadors in there. And he's a prophet before. But what he highlights is that the president can appoint ambassadors, the president can meet with other ambassadors, and that any case involving ambassadors, the Supreme Court has original jurisdiction.
Oh, yeah.
But I'll need to refresh my mind exactly how we look at ourselves as ambassadors.
I didn't put it up there for that reason. I put it up there for Article 1, Section 9, and Section 10, for people to see what the hell was going on right there. Okay? Showing that basically we're not in the jour states out here. And all these representatives and everything that we have are not working for us, we the people, they're working for we the corporations.
Okay.
Under the commercial banking system.
Mm-hmm.
And in the commercial banking system, you have debt money, the Federal Reserve notes, and you've got to have some de jure money on the other side for credit money. And that is basically this bill of credits that they give us. That's what to get. But we've got a bunch of damn nitwit attorneys and judges out here that don't know their ass from a hole in the ground. And then you've got a bunch of enforcement people out here that don't know the law either, and they're out there supporting the wrong damn group. People need to start complaining to the Secret Service, to the FBI, to the U.S. Marshals, and say, hey, who are you here to support? We the people, the de jure government of the country, or the damn foreign bankers. Here, I can prove that these are foreign bankers. They got a title of nobility. It says right here in the Constitution that there shall be no titles of nobility issued by any state. Well, a bar license issued by a state, authorized by a state, is a title of nobility. That's what really keyed me into looking, re-looking at Article 1, Section 10 again. And then I said, well, basically, if they're violating the title of nobility, and we know they are, what else are they violating in this one? And then I looked at the bill of credit. Bills of credit. No state shall issue bills of credit. Well, basically, that's all that we get is bills. And basically, they're set off against the contracts that we have. You go in the court, show me the meat, show me the contract. Where's the contract? You operate on implied presumptions, but this contract says this shit. I say it says this shit. And I don't have to do a damn thing. But bring the contract out here and let's look over. If you can't produce a contract, then there's no charge. Pretty damn simple. Right. Perfect example of what's going on here. I went into court last week. My brother, traffic ticket. Well, the damn court sort of steamrolled over. I ended up paying $127.50 for a seatbelt violation for him. I gave the clerk of the court's copy of the traffic ticket over to the clerk of the court. She kept trying to hand it back to me. Why? Because her copy is a bill of credit. It's money. She could not take two payments. The Federal Reserve dollars, the debt dollars that I was giving up out of my back pocket, and then basically the credits that were sitting on the tickets, her copy of the ticket. On one document I put up there, a bill of credit in the UCC contract law of shadow money. I put up an example of an enforcement. You don't accept anything for value. You do an acknowledgement that this is a bill of credit. By doing an acknowledgement, you are doing an affidavit. You are saying, I approve this as a valid claim or a valid document. And I'm going to endorse it over to you to set off against your performance bond in the system. Now, on previous traffic tickets that I had, basically there was the charges. They were to be set off against the performance bond of the contract. And every commercial construction contract out here, and that's what everything has to be, is a commercial construction contract. And then they keep constructing, adding to it, because they keep changing the damn laws. Adding more items that they can charge against the performance of that contract. So the charges go against the performance bond, but also on that traffic ticket, in the traffic ticket, they had an appearance bond. Okay, by Sig Nature, or by my shadow person. Therefore, this was shadow money.
Jennifer.
And then basically, the appearance bond would have been a payment that would be drawn from the payment bond for that construction contract. Every commercial construction contract has to have two bonds. A performance bond for the constructor, okay, and a payment bond for the employee or the laborer. To shut these things down is what we have to do is come in and claim or liquidate the payment bond. Is there a way with the payment bond that the construction contract can no longer exist because there's no payment bond out there any longer? Now, the payment and the performance bond together form what they call a fidelity bond. And that's what most people have seen out here, using your 9-digit numbers, account numbers, and going in there and typing in to find out that there's an $11.2 million fidelity bond out there against that account number. You have to give us the remedy. The remedy is right there, sitting, known as a bill of credit. And all you have to do is acknowledge that it is a bill of credit because it's coming from a foreign state, the state of, or the United States Corporation, which can issue bills of credit. Because they're not operating under the Constitution. But they have to follow contract law. Both for the Constitution, the law of the land, and the UCC. The University Commercial Contract Law. If they don't comply, then they are going to go down. You have to go to the right places and file the charges against them. They are committing fraud and embezzlement. The IRS, the FBI, and the U.S. Marshals all are out there for investigation of embezzlement and fraud. And the squeaky wheel is the one that gets the grease. You start standing in the real law and start arguing the right thing. They're not going to throw you in jail. They're going to try and get you out of the system and get you off someplace to where you don't squeak as much. And that's it. Every bill you get, except from mom and pa grocery store or whatever, out here, the public utilities, they're licensed by the state, by the state code. All the banks, all the mortgages, they're all operated the same way. They send you a bill, basically it's a bill of credit. You have to give it back to them. If you don't do it, basically then you are dishonoring it. And that is what gets you in trouble, is your dishonor. Now they stack the deck against you, Tracy. We can figure this out when we know what's going on here. And when we stop listening to all these other nitwits out here that are totally going in the wrong direction, never looked at the damn Constitution or any of these other laws because, oh, I wasn't a party to that. So I'm not going to pay any attention to that. It doesn't apply to me. Well, I'm sorry to say, but you were born here, and basically this is the law of the land, and you better start understanding it and sticking by it. Because that's one of your only protections. You go out here and try and be a rogue outfit, a nomad, and basically that's what you're going to get. There's no law. The more people that start hammering on this and start putting this into the courts, you can take a copy of your birth certificate. We've heard stories about people going into the hospital, getting a emergency payment or an operation, getting a private room, private nurse, fully paid for by a birth certificate or certificate of live birth document. That's because he used that as a bill of credit. He endorsed it over and basically left the value open until basically the final claim was needed. We've heard of people going into the clerk of the court's office with traffic tickets and walking out of there with money in their back pocket. Well, now that I see how this is done, that this is all a bill of credit, well, I should have basically been able to pay for all my traffic tickets just by a signature and walk out of there with money in my back pocket. You get a bill from the IRS. You do the same thing with it. You acknowledge it as a bill of credit and send it back to them. See here. Check it off. You get a penalty from them for $5,000 or whatever. You turn around and you do that and accept it, or not accept it. You acknowledge that it's a bill of credit and you claim the credit. That's coming from the payment bond. They're trying to give you a payment.
Patrick, what exactly do you write on there? Do you say I acknowledge this bill of credit?
I basically gave an example of what you would try and do, okay? You can use my example and just try and reword it into your own words. This bill is acknowledged as a foreign commercial bill of credit for the credit monetary obligation assigned value of. And per the UCC law, it is endorsed in return for set-off or payment settlement against the noted foreign commercial construction contract, the driver's license number, the birth certificate number, your marriage license number, whatever, from the required contractor's performance bond and or both labor payment bond, together listed as a fidelity bond. And they can process this after 3 days, then it comes under Title 15 U.S.C. Section 1, that they are restricting your right of trade. And you sign it and seal it for your shadow employee. Last name, first name. Because that's always how they have it on their contracts, is by last name, first names.
This is the last file that Patrick loaded up there.
Okay, thank you.
In UCC contract law, Rev 1.
Thank
the last file Patrick loaded.
Now, the kicker is the United States is a state of, and the licensed banks are all foreign states.
This is Jennifer.
And they do not fall under the the restrictions of Article 1, Section 10. I know that for a fact, because they see these guys, most of them, are operating with titles of nobility, with bar licenses. They're issuing letters of marque and reprisal. They're into their treaties and alliances and confederations. They break everything in Section 10. It's there. Make anything but gold and silver coin a tender for payment for debts. Well, we know they're not doing that.
Hey, Patrick, can we talk a little bit about the content and the labor claim and the mailing? I feel like I missed a couple of things. We were talking about the 3520 and the 20A. I need to know exactly what needs to get sent. I've already done the labor claim, and I'm getting ready to send everything out to the turkeys and the judges and the IRS. And for some reason, I'm a little confused.
Take a copy of the register from here, and they can do the endorsement on the back and take it, deposit the fucking bank. Put it in for us. $25,000 or whatever. To do it as a bill of credit. See what happens. That's a trivial liability. As a bill of credit, you have to assign the value to it. Anybody that's got certified copies of a DD-214 can do the same thing. You take your property tax bill. You do the same thing there. One guy heard years ago would take his property tax and go and deposit into his bank account, and then he'd pay out of the bank account the taxes. It would have to be a bill of credit to be able to deposit it into a bank. You acknowledge it as the right thing, and they think it will go in. We've been trying to claim bills of exchange, letters of credit, you name it. Everything but putting a bill and the word credit together. Because we read the Constitution and said, hey, you can't be issuing these. And that's what they are issuing, is bills of credit.
But disguise so you don't really understand what they are.
Yeah, and they see 99% of people that are on the internet, they see on their ass more on the ground and got everybody totally screwed up. The deceivers use all this shit to basically get people totally off guard. Especially all these ones out here that are basically charging $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 for a seminar or whatever, or documents for you to get out of the system, or to do this, or to do that, to become a Indian nation, or whatever. Come on, people, get your head out of your ass. Statute of limitation up there on items. takes me 1 to 5 years just to read that document. But it's got a kicker in it. That upon disclosure, okay, the rule of disclosure, or whatever, you can come in and basically that's when the clock starts. Not when the crime was committed.
Didn't find out about it.
See, even these damn judges, basically, like the county attorney up out here, basically a complete nitwit. Yeah. What they're concentrating on isn't the right shit. They don't know what the hell they're doing. And then embezzlement. We know they're all doing that. And that's where the 13909 form comes in and the phone call to the FBI and to the U.S. Marshals and put a complaint in to the Inspector Generals. You complain enough and basically somebody will finally show up at your door and basically help you. But if you don't complain, they ain't going to help you. That's the discovery rule allows statute of limitations to begin at the moment of discovery rather than the moment of the crime. And you just now discovered that these things are all about letters of bills of credit. And if that was deprived from you, that the courts never told you, then all you had to do was basically endorse this over and basically we'll take care of it. The courts didn't want anybody to know that. That's a deprivation of justice. And these guys are supposed to be justice officials? My dying ass. They're all out there as foreign bankers for their own profits and gains. Just like Jesus ran them out of the temple 2,000 years ago. Just like Daniel had Nebuchadnezzar throw them all in the damn fire pit. Just like Moses basically had his snake eat them all up. These guys haven't changed their MO one bit. They're still as stupid as ever. And the people are as naive as ever, too. Get out of the system, and then you become one of the true shadow people in the background. Yeah.
How do we know that it's a bill of credit? What was the what turned you on to that? As far as there any evidence that we can go look and read about it or anything like that, or are you just
kidding? Yes, it's right there in the Constitution.
So in the article, in the section 10.
It says right there, no state shall issue a bill of credit. It also says no state shall issue a title of nobility. And we know goddamn well that the states are issuing titles of nobility.
Yeah.
to the bar license people, and therefore, you can't be a judge. You've got to have this kind of a nobility to be a judge. But that's not what the de jure constitution says.
Right.
Hey, 11 of the first Supreme Court justices never had a law degree. Only one of the 12 had a law degree. County attorney, it has nothing in there about requiring that you have in the Constitution that you have a bar license. You're supposed to be a man of law. Learned man of law. Well, I know more about the real law than most these attorneys do nowadays. They only know contract law. Because that's all they're ever taught in college, is contract law. And then see all these people go out in the court and they're arguing all these codes and everything. That has nothing to do. It's all about the contract. Show me the contract. Show me where I am under contract to you. Under obligation to you. You aren't. Your fictional person is. And he has to be able to give you a means to set it off. And that is why that bill of credit, the bonds that are written against the contract. The contractor's destruction contract. Just like the constructors building the pyramids in Egypt. They had a construction, a performance bond, and then they also had a labor bond sitting there. And the labor bond, all the assets in the labor bond, were what was put on the great capstone of the Great Pyramid. And all the other stuff was paid for, the construction, people were all paid for out of the performance bond. You guys see this?
Hey,
this
Patrick,
stuff hasn't changed in thousands and thousands of years. Same M.O. Go ahead.
What's a guild? I'm not looking up in my dictionary, but what, in your terms, what is a guild?
It's a charge. What about the dictionary? I put the words up there in one of the other documents about bill of credit. Read what it says. It says a bill of credit is money. We've got two monies in this country right now. You've got Federal Reserve notes, which are debt money. Then you have bills of credit, which are credits, or the cancel of the debt. You've got a debt money, and you've got a credit money.
That's
pretty simple in my understanding of looking at it. You've got to have both.
Is that why the deficit is so high? Because that's all we're using? Is that is the...
Yes, because the people are not using the bills of credit to set off the debt.
Wow.
That's simple. A debt can only be canceled by a credit.
Hello?
Yeah, you have a question?
Patrick, when I used to get the bills, and at the bottom it would say the tax base and return it, but on the top of that it would say payment coupon. So when I look up the team, what is a payment coupon, it's a detachable part of the bond to pay the dividend. So what they're calling it is a bill is actually them trying to pay you a dividend from the bond you created with the contract, right?
We didn't create the bonds, okay? The contractor created the bonds. The state of your bank, they created the payment and the performance bonds. We gave them a letter of credit for so much credit against that contract. And they bonded out our credit that we gave them to basically get the payment, the bond payments. Now, they're presenting something to us. They see they've created a debt, and now they present us a bill of credit from the bond credits that are sitting there that need to be released to set off the debt.
I see. Okay, so they've got like a certain amount that they can do, but only through the accounting where they have to show how much they're taken out. They have to get your approval of the figures.
Right. We are the owners of this contract. We're the masters.
Okay, I see. I get it now. All right, thank you.
Okay, even though they're the contractor, we're the landlord. They're working for us, in a way. Anyway.
Two questions. On this endorsement, would we put that on the front or the back of the deal? What would be best?
Doesn't make any difference.
Okay, and the question on the birth certificate, do they get to keep that or do we keep that? What's the birth certificate?
You send it back into them. It's a bill. You have to give it to them and force it back over to them so that the credits can be released.
Okay.
You'll get the credits back. You can then turn around and go and get another copy of that and put another one in.
Okay, I gotcha.
It's funny. That's
that
what the definition of bill of credit says. It's money. Pretty obvious.
Okay, I got it. Thanks.
Okay. I mean, to holler, you guys. They're trying to get this thing crossed. You don't quite understand? Speak up. Let me holler at you and I'll straighten you out.
Okay. Hey. So you put the dollar amount on the birth certificate, whatever you're using?
You've got to put the value that you are assigning this bill of credit. It's either the face value of the bill that they sent to you, you're acknowledging this bill of credit for the face value of this bill, or you are going to assign a value of so much to it.
You took a check.
Yes. Like on my traffic ticket, I had one, which was the charges. So much charges was going against the payment, the performance bond, and then the appearance bond was going to be charged off against the payment bond, and then together, the assigned value of this document was going to be the two of those combined together. See, these are destructive. I mean, how you write these things up, these aren't that hard to figure out.
Yeah.
You've seen things like this in the past. You can be little wordy, okay? Put it under your damn computer and then get that computer printed out on the damn document. Like I said, Ricky says this is falling in out of the discovery rule. My traffic tickets that make your Some of them almost a little over 5 years old, almost 6 years old. I can still go back after them.
Dr. Can I ask you a quick question? What's the difference between the county-issued birth certificate and the state-issued birth certificate?
Nothing. They're both on bonded note paper, which makes them both take care of credit.
But you don't have to get them from the state. You get them from the county.
No, you're paying the same dollar value for it. The county just does a different, a shorter form version of it because they don't have that in their record book. They have to go to the county record book and pull the information out of there by hand. They don't have the copy, the photo copy, that is sitting up there at the state. They're all vital records. That's the only difference.
Right.
But they're putting the same information on both of these bills of credit.
Patrick, as you mentioned, using your vehicle title as one of these bills of credit. I would imagine the contract number is the title's identification. And the value,
9-digit title number.
Yeah, and the value assigned would be the manufacturer's price plus the $11.2 million.
No, it would be based on the value that is on the new car for that. That's what I would go in after, too, because they can then turn around and truly liquidate the whole account.
Okay. Well, the manufacturer's price was $9,600, but I bought it for $200.
Yeah, but it's still showing the new car value on it because that value has been transferred from one person over to the other because nobody ever claimed it. So the contract has just been moved around from one person to another.
Well, on the one I had, they had that $200 value on, so maybe they did it wrong.
They don't have the new price value on it.
No, they don't. I looked at
it. It's probably older than 7 years, then.
Yeah, 1992. It was 9620
and 92. I would worry about the bigger items first, okay? And then go out and buy a brand new car and basically get it to where you don't register it with the state, then you don't get under a contract with the state, and the state can't fucking license it or give you a ticket because it's just like a tractor. Basically, the state cannot a tractor on the road. A farm tractor. Can they? Because the state doesn't have a contract with the farmer for that vehicle.
Well, I don't have any tickets to worry about if we have one. Okay,
show me the contract.
Right.
Now pulls yours. Show me your contract that you have so you can write a ticket against this vehicle.
Right. Okay.
Show me a contract that you can write a driver's license ticket against me if I don't have a driver's license.
Okay. Well, I'll put a large value certificate of live birth one in and see how it goes. As you mentioned, where is the contract when you're facing the judge? Can you do that even though you're in prison? You seem to go back to me. Where's the contract? Or you throw me in the slammer?
Yes. It's all about contract law. That's why I put that contract law for dummies up there.
Right. And they would have to go back and get the equivalent of the bill, the statement of charges in dollar values to be able to do that.
No, they would have to bring the contract to basically set up the thing, and they're not going to bring that up there.
Oh, okay.
They're probably going to dismiss the damn deal.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, see, they don't want to bring these contracts out into the open.
Okay, that's what I call the people. Thank you.
Well, no. get a bill from somebody like the bank, you turn around and you endorse it, okay, as a bill of credit.
Right, I got that. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, you take, you get a court charge, you get property taxes. That's a bill of credit. You endorse it and send it back to them. Or you take it down to your local bank and deposit it into your local bank, and then go and pay them.
I like that.
Now, if your local mom and pop bank don't understand this, then basically you better get a bank like American Express or Wells Fargo or something like that that does understand these bills of credit. See, when you acknowledge this as a foreign commercial bill of credit, you are doing an affidavit. Now, the bank, MBC, prosecuting attorney, whatever, they are going to have to do a rebuttal against that affidavit, and they're not going to, because he would have to step out into the real world. He would have to come out of the shadows to show themselves for what they really are.
And we could do the certificate of our personal credit at either the licensed bank or take it to the court. Right?
Or send it into the IRS or to the Treasury Department.
Okay.
And have it directly deposited into your Direct Express or your Treasury Direct account.
Okay. About minute.
While you're still staying in the control of the Department of the Treasury. I haven't heard anything about the one lady that we had down in Florida that she went in the second time into a bankruptcy court with her non-UCC and everything. She had to go in with the corrected non-UCC, not a state-issued non-UCC, but this registered mail UCC, and then also with the Form 926. She took that in there with her, and we haven't heard anything from her, so we think that she is fully out of the system now. She was pretty much on the way out, but when they went to check her non-UCC previous, it was registered with the state under a state number, and the state cannot have that non-commercial UCC in their records. They can only deal with commercial UCCs.
You pointed that out before.
Okay. So we have pretty confident that she's out of the system, but making they also, since this is also proprietary information in their regards, they have a code of silence over her, in some cases for her own protection. Faith and belief is what we were told we had to have. So, that's where we are, okay? Now, I don't know about my situation. In some cases, they also have the other side of the coin. Somebody's got a big mouth and basically is spreading the truth. They want to hang on to them out there as long as possible before they pull them out of the system.
get that.
Yeah, why would they want to shut somebody up if he's telling the truth? If he's helping the country. Like, for somebody that they see is only working for their own benefit, yeah, they may take them out right away.
Okay, so if you have another question, please.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is there anything we can do in lieu of this 98 EIN number? I tried this over and over, and they will not cooperate with me.
Get with Tom and get with the other guy that thinks he is gone and help other people get the damn number, okay?
Well, I called him, and he didn't call me back yet, so.
Okay, well, that's all I can do. I either that or go fill out the 3520 or 3520A. And send those into Ogden, Utah. Let them do it for you. Okay?
Roger Ron isn't there all the time. He does the phone calls eventually.
Okay. I'll find him again.
Can you repeat the form number?
3520 and 3520A.
ARS, right?
Yes. They used to be on Schedule B of the 1040 form, and that's where I filled it out back in 2009 and sent it into Ogden, Utah, but I've made my EIN on there for the foreign grantor account. Here's my Social Security number in the form of an EIN. They said, well, that's not an EIN, and they went to Philadelphia, and they went and got my number for me. See? The IRS ain't all that bad. The IRS
Amen, Patrick.
Huh?
Amen.
Yes, we do.
No, I hooked these guys up. The IRS out of Atlanta, Georgia, was one that went and got my estate EIN for me. I didn't do any SS4.
Amen.
That's why I can't tell you how to do the call-in out there, because I never weigh in with a foreign address. I put down my regular address.
I don't have access to, like, the movie and stuff like that. Can I just get the form to fill out by hand?
Yeah, you can print them out by hand.
You can fill them out online. Go to pdfescape.com.
Allow you to fill some, most of these forms out. But if you can't, throw them out by hand.
In blue or black or what color should it be in?
It doesn't make any difference.
Okay. Thank you very much.
A copy reader will let you print and won't let you save. PDF escape will let you save.
Yeah, it will let you type onto it, and then you can print it out after you've filled in the blanks.
Okay.
Then you print it out, and then you scan a copy of the fax in for your records.
Mm-hmm.
You always have a printer scanner.
Yes, I have that. For some reason, my computer will not let me go into stuff. A lot of my emails are missing, and it just messes up.
You need to get a good virus program and basically go through and check out. You probably got some viruses in there. Some junk.
Yeah. I don't have the time to wait for that, so I'd rather just write it.
Thank you. On your Civil War claims definition.
Hold on. Speak up a little.
On your Civil War claims definitions, where you have in red the bankruptcy court that says, let's any person claiming to be the owner of the property that's captured and sold at any time within 2 years after the close of the Civil War in a court of claims.
The Civil War is not over. Okay?
Exactly. Right. So if the Civil War isn't over, and it says, might at any time within 2 years after the close of the Civil War bring a suit in the bankruptcy court.
But it doesn't say, it does not prevent you from issuing a claim prior to the closure of the Civil War, does it? Read what it says.
But it does, you're correct. It doesn't say that. Or it does what I said. It does read what you have. I see
now,
how you...
See, that's what you need to do, is basically people don't read between the lines. What's missing?
When it starts.
Yeah, see? You've got to look at these things. And it says this, and what is it saying about the other? Prior to the close of the Civil War. Can I make a claim? No, it's not saying you can't make a claim.
It's just saying when you can't.
Well, I see that.
Thank you right now. The key thing is to understand that this is all about contracts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's under the shadow person, okay, where character, go down and read the next definition under criminal character, that one is of substance, and that's the living person, and the other is the shadow and the contracted person. They're all capital name person. Your shape nature is a shadow of you.
Yeah.
It's a black name, okay?
Can I say something?
What was that?
Can I say something? Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. Speak up.
This is Jackie Ryan. My phone number is 513-836-9835. Let's see if you're trying to get that down. I don't want to put that on.
Can we see it again so they can get it? Please.
513-836-9835. I sent you a text message to them, Thomas.
Good.
So you can post it on Skype.
Okay. Okay, I haven't got it yet, but so maybe you do it one more time, and I'll make sure I have it here. 513-836-9835. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom and Patrick. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your help with those people.
Right on.
God bless you, Tom. God bless you, little person. This is your friend, the Archbishop. I'm here for the long haul. He calls me home. Well, basically, all we need to do is basically get this understanding about this, that it's all about these, bills of credit.
Bills of credit.
See, when I first started in, basically looking at Article 1, Section 10, I was looking at the law impairing obligations of contract. And then I was looking at letters of marquee and appraisal and bills of attainder. And then no state shall do that. Those were the three items I had on that one document that I had. It's all about commercial banking contracts. See, at that point in time, I wasn't looking at bills of credit. I didn't address the titles of nobility. But we knew that the United States corporation and the state of our foreign corporations. Then when I took a re-look at it, I said, hey, now I can see why they can issue titles of nobility, why they're making everything but gold and silver coin, and a payment of debts, and making, they're using bills of credit. That's the only thing that they can be issuing, is bills of credit against the bond for the contracts, the performance and the payment bonds that they have under the construction contracts. And then knowing that all of these law attorneys and everything that are doing in law school, their prime thing that they're studying is not all the codes of law. I mean, they would never graduate if they had to know the codes of law. It's ridiculous. Yeah, contract law, that's a different subject.
Praise God.
You have to look at these things logically and figure out what is really going on here. Anybody else have anything?
Don't slow down.
I've got a question.
Okay.
What would be the proper way to make an order to the judge or the magistrate to turn over the payment bond?
Basically, that's going to have to be done in a different scenario, okay?
I got you.
You basically go in and you've got a charge in court or whatever. Go on to the charge. You need the bill so that I can set it off. And then all you have to do is acknowledge it is a bill of credit.
Give me
the bill. I'll set it off.
They refused me multiple times when I asked for a bill.
Then show me the contract. If there's no bill, where's the contract? Did I violate something?
I'm afraid I have the same problem.
If all of these courts are able to issue the papers, these judgments, as a bill of credit, then it seems to, I'm thinking that these things are held by them, and they're getting us to endorse them, not knowing what we're doing, and then they're using them because they didn't know what they were.
Because they're going to turn around and take that court document and endorse it over as a bill of credit and settle the matter right down there and close down that court case.
Would it serve us anything to create an order and then mail it to ourselves with a registered number?
Get the document. Get the bill. Get the court case. The court case is a bill. Is it not? When the judge issues the ruling, is that not a bill?
I guess it has to be.
It is.
So all of these things, for example, divorce is one of the biggest things they make money on. So they get you to go through this whole thing that's like a mock legal trial or whatever it is.
And do an endorsement of it for the value on that they're wanting to settle. See here, here's the bill of credit.
You can't collect them endorsed.
Right. You have then there's no value on the back of the marriage certificate.
And there's no longer any controversy for failure to perform, like pay a bill or whatever, because you've already given it to them.
You've given them the payment.
Yeah, no, everybody on this call, I don't know if everybody's like me, though. I've been ignorant to the fact that there's two forms of money. We got these debt notes, and then we got these bills of credit. You already said it. I'm just repeating something you already said. But prior to this, I'm prior to this thinking it was in my mind that how am I going to get, you know, when they order you to pay some enormous amount of money that you don't have, you only got if all you know is in your reasoning that you got to come up with these Federal Reserve notes. That's one method, but the other method is to endorse these bills of credit and give it to them, and that's apparently what everybody doesn't know that they can do.
Yeah. See, you have to give them the cutters.
Yeah, you're just releasing it.
Yeah. And they're all held under the bond, and you are the owner of this contract. It's like you're going out and building the house, okay? And you hire a contractor. You're the owner. You're the master. Now, you have to release the funds that are held in the bank account to pay the contractor or to pay the laborer, right?
Yeah.
This same thing holds true with these commercial construction contracts. You are the owner of that Social Security card. You are the owner of that driver's license. You are the owner of that certificate of title to the vehicle. They are the contractor. You are the owner.
Actually, if you were to make this presentment that way, if you were to endorse these bills of credit, the first time that they turn you down, that thing should be extinguished right now.
Right, and you take that right to a, if they deny you, then you take it to a court of appeal.
Can I make a
comment? That sounds good.
Yeah, go ahead.
For the guy who was talking about the court, it says in the Constitution that no man can be charged with an infamous crime except by presentment or indictment by a grand jury. Now, when you go into court, the first thing the judge does in every case is go read the charges. Now, that is the presentment, but because he's presenting it to you, you get to demand to see the paperwork. And if he doesn't show you the paperwork after that, there's no presentment. He can't continue with the case. You can just say, I can't hear you, I need to see the paper. You know, show me the charging instrument.
Show me the contract. Show me the meat.
Yeah, that's what it says in the ACC. Under the presentment, the presentee gets a demand from the writing.
Yeah, but you also have to realize this is not what they are referring to about the grand jury in the Constitution. The grand jury is only referring to a actual harm caused, okay, like murder or something like that. That's what the grand juries are all for. Is there enough evidence to charge this guy with a charge of harm and damage?
Right, yeah.
All these courts that we're dealing with are banking courts. They're settlement courts.
Yeah.
So this is a different court system that's out here, you see. But they speak for the first time on the statutes at large in this session, session two, Fifth Congress, Session 2, Chapter 49, 50, and 51, they see they address in there that they see there was never to be any debtor's prisons in this country.
say, but the judge is taking a presentment verbally, and the attorneys are there to lead you into dishonor by arguing about the facts instead of acknowledging the presentment and discharging the bill.
Right, because they're all working for the foreign banker so that they can get another contract, get you into another contract, and get you into default.
Yeah.
Dishonor.
Yeah.
It's a game.
When we endorse one of these bills of credit, do you think it's going to make any difference at all which way that you write the dollar amount or the value, like, you know, on a check?
No, it's not going to make any difference because this is all in Federal Reserve dollar value. It's in commercial dollar value, so one line through the dollar symbol is good enough.
What I had in mind in my question is whether you write it out, you know, with the words versus the digits.
No, it don't make any difference, okay? See, that's some of the nature's bullshit. You're not in the du jour world yet. You're still in a commercial world, so basically you use what basically they have. And if they have a dollar symbol, basically use the dollar symbol. Don't make it complicated. Don't try and argue the situation. See, that's what some of these people that are going and trying to get that 98 series number, they argue the wrong damn thing. Because they've been ingrained with total misunderstanding about who in the hell they really are. They're trying to be the shadow when they should be the living individual.
What you described is so easy, you should all be doing it by tomorrow.
Well, especially if you've got a bank account that the National Bank, you should be able to take a copy of a birth certificate or DD-214 or whatever, and basically, whatever instrument you have, like a bill, utility bill or whatever, and deposit it directly in. But the utility bill, basically, they're under the same scenario. They're a commercial endeavor organization licensed by the state of out here, so they are under license they have to operate with these bills of credit. And basically, when you use the proper term, now some people have gotten remedy with the accepted for value. Okay, I've gotten remedy on two hospital deals, one on appendicitis about 4 years ago. No, shit, 2000, what the hell was that? Shit. It's a while back, okay? About $16,000. Basically, I have third-party bank partners and everything else trying to craft me. So I don't have a contract with them. Show me the contract that I have with you. Okay? Any third-party bank partner comes in to you, where's the contract that I have with you? I have no contract with you, and basically if you come after me again, I will file slander suit against you. Now, the hospital, basically, they have already sold the item off, marked off their books. They're trying to get another extra kickback by selling it over to this third party. That third party is basically trying to make 1,000% profit off of the deal. Don't give it to them. They're shysters, and most of them are bar attorneys too. So they're all working together. But if you hammer these damn people and basically either under the accepted for value or different forms, I can't remember which one format that I used or basically which one settled it, but basically they haven't come after me for that. And then basically also another one for about $2,500 about 2 years ago. And I haven't heard anything more back from these people either.
Do a one-scan a man have to fill out a DD-214?
What was that?
On a DD-214, is it just for men, or is it for men and women?
Well, basically, the woman did time and got DD-214, but yeah, she can turn around. But with the DD-214, you have to file that into the county records. There may be certified copies of it from the county. You don't send your original one in unless you're closing down the whole account. Now, if you're married, and if your husband's dead, basically then you, as the wife, can turn around and put a claim in against that DD-214, and you send that into either the regional Department of Labor or the IRS in Washington, D.C., or the Treasury Department, whatever.
I was in the service with my parents,
though.
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
You were in the service with your parents?
Yes. As a child.
No. You don't have a claim to your parents, DD-214.
Okay.
Let me correct that. A child only has a claim against their parents, DD-214, until they come of the age of 21. After that, they have no further claim. Or up to the age of 23 if they're in college. The VA will pay by way of that DD-214 for education of a child. Okay? I know
thank
that
you.
For a fact because basically I was getting, when I was in junior college, I told Casey I was sent to hell with, and I said, I ain't learning shit here, and that's when I went out on my own and went into service on my own, when I turned 21.
Okay. So I'm going to have to take that off of my bail.
Yeah, you can't claim it. A wife can claim her husband's DD-214 if he's dead.
Okay.
Otherwise, basically, the husband has to, he's supposed to be the master of the household, and he can put a claim in against the DD-214 and get funds to support the estate and the wife as part of the estate. At least that's the way it's supposed to work in a marriage, but and this modern shit, I don't know. They destroyed the families. They destroyed every person thing in this country. Okay, anybody else have any questions? Okay, call tonight, John.
Thank you.
Okay, good night.
Good night.